الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has made the system of this world such that when Nabi Adam alayhi salatu was salam was sent down, it was different from Jannah. That in Jannah, Adam alayhi salatu was salam and his beloved wife Hawa radiallahu anha, whatever they desired, they would find. There was no need for effort. The body would have natural clothing. There was no need to cover. There was no need to toil. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. That you have such a world. This was his paradise when he first saw it. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, enjoy. أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا. Hunger is never going to come to you in this world. You will never have to worry. You will never have to see any difficulty. لا تجوع فيها ولا تعرى. You will never be naked. لا تظمأ فيها. You will never be thirsty. You will never feel the heat. And that is a world that everyone wants. When Nabi Adam alayhi salam now is sent into this world, first it is night. Just the darkness of the night makes him uncomfortable. Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam is sent to teach Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And the crux of his teaching is to get results. You will have to make effort. No matter how small that effort might look, but without an effort you're going to get nothing. And when an effort takes place, you're going to get amazing results. This is the system of this world. For example, the seed is put into the ground. The nature of the seed and the ground is such that using the mind, a very small seed and a very strong ground, by putting the seed in the ground, how can you ever get a result? How will the seed ever open? Who is going to open it? If the stem is weak, how will it manage to come through? If it has to come through, every insect, every ant, a cat will walk and it will just walk over it. This is never going to work. But Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam would plant with Adam alayhi salam the first seed. For Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, it was to look and to learn that man will have to make a small effort and the remaining to leave in the hands of Almighty Allah. If you have to look at that seed after you plant it and carry on looking and carry on looking, you'll get tired. Because the seed will take a time. But after 10 years, 20 years, if you will look, you will not see a seed, you will see a garden. As for the one who was not ready to plant, because he felt or she felt, what work, what results will this ever give? They never planted. When you don't plant, in 20 to 30 years, you will never see a garden. When this was the system of the world and the matters of the world, that little effort and don't wait to see results. You make the effort, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will allow the effort to grow. When this was the system for dunya to get food for the body, it was naturally going to be the system for the soul. That you will have to plant a seed somewhere along the line. And then don't wait and look in the mirror to see, is it growing? Why is it not growing? Why is it taking so long? Rather, you plant the seed and you will see amazing results. A few years ago, I had the chance to visit the island of Barbados. In there, there was a very senior alim who was already past 90 years of age. About last week or so, he passed away. I had the chance to meet him. Most likely it was after the Jummah Salah. He gave me some advices. He had seen the island of Barbados. It's an island like how your Australia is. So after his demise, people sent out what we will call like a biography, autobiography, words that were prepared by him or under him, or people who wrote about him. So what he explains in this biography of his is very similar to what many people would have seen in their own lands, in their own areas when they reached. It is regarding this very same point that if a seed is planted and you are the gardener, he planted the seed in the year 1965. In the year 2025, when he leaves the world, he doesn't see one tree, he doesn't see five trees, he sees gardens. He sees gardens in Barbados, in Panama, in Guyana, in islands all across. Whereas when the seed was not planted, he had the chance with the first Jamaat that went, they went to what we call today Guyana. At that time when he reached there, he asked the people, what is the state of your deen? In Barbados there was about 500 Muslims. In the island of Guyana, there was about 150 masjids. 150 masjids. Here there was 500 Muslims. 150 masjids. But the people said that when our forefathers came, they built masajid. But the system of learning and teaching slowly, slowly started fading away because people are so busy in the farms to not have time. So they said, can we not go and spend some time in the masjid? They said, okay, but let's clean it first. Because many of these masjid has become places where cows or horses now eat their food. They had to go and clean what was called a toilet area. It was never used. So he says when he arrived in Barbados in 1965, he said, the condition of the Muslims in the city or in the island of Barbados really troubled me. The people had become like everyone else. He said, when I looked at the men who were about 500, very few had beards. They had been affected by the un-Islamic environment. The dress of the Muslim and the non-Muslim had become the same. Suit, pants. There were two masajids, however, it was most of the time empty. No one would come for the Zuhr Salah. Few would come for Fajr, about 4 to 7. Few would come from Isha. Youngsters would never ever come to the masjids. And they would say, if you want to practice on your deen, then you do it in a Muslim country. But now that we have come to a foreign country, he said, the condition of the woman was such, when they left their homes, they would wear their best clothing. A thin scarf around their neck, their hair would be exposed. Some would wear elaborate hairstyles and buns. Weddings, seeing the clothing of the females at these functions, these weddings, would make the Muslims think we have to imitate them or even be better than them. There were a few Muslim women who did read Salah. But that also a few salah. The majority did not even know salah is farz. He says, it was not until the late 1970s that some women began wearing the niqab. Simply speaking, the Muslims were living a life of ease. Ease and comfort. Why? Because when they came to the island of Barbados, they had no concern for life after death. They had no one to explain and remind to them that there is a life coming. He had become so engrossed in trying to perfect this temporary life, which can only go up to about 80 years, that they had forgotten totally there had to be some effort for their deen. Many of us would have inherited our Islam. And it's a normal law, inheritance, because you don't plant the seed yourself. It is a tree you find. Many a time when you will come and you will buy a land, you will see the person who sells you the land makes a wasiyat, a bequest. He says, please don't cut down the trees. But the person who buys the land, for him every tree is in the wrong place. Immediately he gets his machine and he starts cutting. One begs, don't cut. The other one says, cut, why? For the one who planted the seed of the tree, he saw the tree growing. For him, this is the fruits of my effort. As for the one who saw the tree there, for him it's a burden. It's in the wrong place. I need it out. Someone said to Umar radiallahu anhu, how fortunate are those who are born in Islam. They never saw kufr. They never saw idol worship. Born pure, living pure. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I actually fear for those who are born in Islam. It will be an inheritance which will not be looked after. Umar radiallahu anhu's words were unique. An inheritance which will not be looked after. He says they will find Islam, they never worked for Islam. The one who sees a garden with trees, he finds the tree is a burden. Those that never planted the seeds of Islam, sometimes we feel that Islam is the burden, it's the barrier between us and the world. A woman reaches a supermarket. She's in niqab. The cashier is a girl from Syria. She is dressed like a local European girl. She has on her makeup, her lipstick, her hair is uncovered. She says to the woman in niqab, because the country is speaking this talk, why must you cover yourself? So she says to the woman in niqab, that this you don't do in our country. If you want to cover yourself, leave. Go back to your country, where everyone covers. Don't bring your values into our country. In a very rude manner she says it. But she's a girl from Syria. As for the woman in niqab, she loves her niqab. And to the amazement of the Syrian girl, she realizes that this is a white European woman of the land. She says, my sister, I am not from any other land. This is my land. She says, the problem is you people sold your deen. We bought your deen. You sold your deen. We bought it. The one who plants the tree, seed will look at it and wait for it to grow. The one who sees the tree will say, can't I cut this tree? Me and you have inherited Islam, most of us. We must never make the mistake of those who inherited and they never valued. 150 masajid, they said, our elders made. Said, but then we became so busy with our farms that a time came where there was no one to even clean that masajid. It became the places to feed the cows and the horses. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say regarding Quran, it would be regarding deen. Ta'ahadu al-Quran. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَصِّيًا مِنَ الْعِبِلِ فِي عُقُلِهَا. How quickly a camel will run when you will just leave the rein. You will just become negligent for a while and you will see your camel is gone. Whereas for the man in the desert, the camel means his life. It has his food, it has its honor. It will take him through the desert. It will prevent him getting burnt. He will not have to touch the hot sand. He can sleep on the back of the camel. He will not have to walk through the desert. Let the camel go. He will then have to feel the heat of the sand. He will be disgraced. He will be moving around. until death will overtake him. كَسَّرَابٍ بِقِيْعَةِ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَا. He will be a man looking at a mirage. He will think it to be water. He will move towards it, move towards it. إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. And when he will reach it, he will realize it's not water. And there he will find Allah saying to him, you failed. You failed. It must not happen that me and you came in this world and we saw a mirage. A mirage means you think it's water, but it's not. The mirage for us is, I think my happiness is in direction A. So you start walking in that direction. Every time you're putting your hand, 5 years have gone, 10 years, 15 years. You ask the person, how many years to find what you're looking for? He says, I just need another 5 years, then I'm settled. Around the corner, then I'm settled. I just need to put up this room, then I'm settled. I need to just get my daughter married, then I'm settled. Mirage. Carry on walking, until finally when you just put your hand there, you realize it was nothing, it was a lie. And there Allah Tawarukala says to His servant, you failed. Why were you walking in the wrong direction? Me and you must never make this mistake. We'll have to hold on to our Quran, we'll have to hold on to our deen. We will have to plant the seed, and we cannot wait for it to grow, we have to plant the next seed. We will have to make an effort on ourselves, and we will have to make an effort on the people around. What is the nature of the effort we must make? Any effort. We cannot sell our deen, we'll have to make people purchase deen. The ulama in the past would say, if you are not an inviter to your deen, you will be invited by the deen of others. We'll have to promote our Islam to ourselves and the people around. We will have to make ta'aleem of our deen to ourselves and to the people around. We cannot be shy. Whoever plants the seed before you pass away, you will see such results of your works that will leave you shocked. Your garden will come up. Whoever does not plant a seed will wonder, how come others got gardens and I have been left? In the move of planting seeds, there's a few efforts that me and you have to make. This is what Allah Tawarukala in Surah Kahf indicates towards. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Principle number one in the era of fitan, trials, tribulations is, Allah Tabarakala says, let your tongue never ever say regarding anything, I will do this tomorrow. إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You will have to say, if Allah wills, I will do this tomorrow. The word is so small. If Allah wills. If you had done something and it's amazing. See if you can drop this echo. If you had done something that's amazing, then you will say, MashaAllah. MashaAllah means this is what Allah willed. If a gift comes to you, a brand new car, a brand new phone, a wonderful dress, do you know? Just a little bit of echo is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put on clothing. He would say, Allahumma anta kasawtani hadha. Oh Allah, it is you that gave me this to wear. Anta kasawtani hadha. A beautiful car comes. You will say, hadha ma sha Allah. This is what Allah willed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah gives you a gift. And the one who on the gift says, ma sha Allah, he will never see in that gift that which will distress him. Meaning it will be the coolness of your eyes. We live in a world today where we do not want, when you reach your old age, You see the condition of your children so terrible, that you want to cry. Your child is a gift from Almighty Allah. When you see the child, you will have to say, Masha Allah. This is what Allah wills. Number one. This is what Allah wills. You will have to attribute the child to Allah. And thereafter, thus many people do. You will enter the house. And in the house, it's a beautiful house. So they have a lovely frame, because our deen today has become frames. Our deen has become words that we write. For us, it's just on the book. In a madrasa, it is now just writing in a book. Writing the method. Writing the method of how to perform salah. In a wudu khana, it's a dua on the wall. In a kitchen, it is bismillah on the fridge, freezer. Our deen, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a day will come. But the masajid will be big. The masajid will be big. The Qurans will be on shelves. Right. He says, but the hearts will be bereft of iman. So many houses you will see in the lounges, it is written, Ma sha Allah la quwwata illa billah. This is what Allah wills. No power from my side. But what was the purpose of saying this? So when your child will come, you will also remember the hadith. That whichever gift a person is given and he says, Ma sha Allah, then he will never see in that gift that which makes him sad. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever taught people words. He taught people reality. They came around Abu Talib. They complained. They said, this nephew of yours is causing problems in our land, separating families. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh my uncle, it is only one kalima I want them to say. If they have to read this kalima, the Arab and the Ajam will submit to them. Arab and non-Arab, the world will fall at their feet. He said, Wallah. They also used to use the word Allah. He said, only one kalima. We'll be ready to say 10. Abu Talib said, what do you want them to say? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La ilaha illallah. One kalima. There is no deity but Allah. There and there they stood up. And they said, قَوْلٌ عُجَابٌ أَجْعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. What? Does he want it to be only one deity? Never ever. Why were they not ready to read the kalima? Because they understood it is not just the word. But when you will read the word, you will have to accept the reality of the word. They would have to deny the many idols that had taken place in their heart. They were not ready for it. When we will read MashaAllah on the gift Allah gives us, InshaAllah, when you will put the frame Hadha MashaAllah in your house, La quwwata illa billah. Allah's Rasul said, you will not see in that gift that which will make you sad. In your children, in your family, you will have to say this, MashaAllah. This is what Allah gave. But then there will be a reality attached to this kalima of yours. That when you yourself admit where it came from, you will also have to then ask, what must I now do with it? When you yourself will admit where it came from, that it is not yours. A wonderful child has come. Allah gave. For years you were not getting a child. You fell pregnant. You became so happy. You wanted a boy. Allah gave a boy. You were making dua for a girl. فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ Allah Tawarakala says, how man is, how they make dua to Allah, give me a child, give me a child. Then she falls pregnant. Now she starts moving with the child. فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا لَإِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا Then mother and father start making dua, O Allah, if you make the child salih, salih means the lungs are intact, the speech is good, there's no problems with the child, I find everything well of the child, saliha, lanakunanna min ash-shakirin, how we will thank you, O Allah. Falamma atahuma salihan, ja'ala lahu shurakaa fima atahuma. But then they say, Allah Tawarakala says, but when Allah Tawarakala gave them a child which was intact, a child which had no problem, a child which they begged for, ja'ala lahu shuraka, then they made partners for the child. They forgot where it came from. Now they were not asking, Allah, what must I do with the child? Now they were asking the one who never gave the child what to do with the child. جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ Allah Tawarakala says, Allah is far away. Allah has nothing to do with what partners they make. أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا Are they ready to make a partner? The one who never created, the one who has created. Me and you will hear verses like this. We will think of a mushrik, an idol. Quran speaks to me and you. In our children we said, MashaAllah, this is what Allah wills. We got a brand new cloth, we said, MashaAllah, what a wonderful jubba, what a wonderful burqa. We lifted our hands and we said, O Allah, if you give me citizenship, O Allah, if you give my husband a good job, O Allah, if you give good sustenance, O Allah, if you make life easy. And as soon as it came, جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَى They made partners in the act. The one who never gave it, they made that one the partner. So the child comes, beloved child, wonderful child, coolness of the eye. So much of dua before the coming of the child, so much of happiness after the coming of the child. MashaAllah is written on the cradle of the child. This is what Allah gave. But immediately then we ask, besides Allah, now what to do with the child? May Allah Tawarakala make that when we say this is what Allah gave, naturally then we say, so oh Allah, now what must I do with my child? Every gift that comes from Allah, the appreciation of the gift is to ask, now Allah what? Now Allah what? You have given me a lamb, what a wonderful lamb, now what? You have given me a beautiful tongue, now what? You have given me sustenance, so easy it comes from all sides. Now what? I will not make a partner in the gifts of Allah, anyone but Allah. So I will not ask anyone but Allah, now what to do? Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's granny, she wanted a child. She was not falling pregnant. She saw two birds playing with their babies. A woman who wants a child feels very hurt when she sees somebody else with a child. She also wishes one day if I can have my own. But she was different from other women of the world. When she did fall pregnant, she lived up to her promise. She never said, this is my child. She never said, this is my husband's. She never said, this is ours. She understood, this is the gift of Allah. So amazing were her words that Allah would mention it in Quran. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ When she fell pregnant, Allah Tabarakala, she says, that the mother of the child said, مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي O Allah, I have freed this child for the khidmat of your deen. مُحَرَّرَ She thought it's going to be a boy. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى When she gave birth, she was shocked it's a girl. She was not upset at getting a girl like many today. We brought customs from our old lands. It was an old pagan custom. When a boy would be born in the family, they would become so happy. When a girl would be born in the family, first child is a girl, they wouldn't be so happy. It was a pagan. We might think maybe it came from India and Pakistan. It came from the devil himself. It came from the devil himself. Allah Tabarakala says, what is wrong with these people? When they get the news of a girl born in the family, then they cover their heads as though they are disgraced. Their faces become dark. They start moving around. They don't want to tell anyone, I got a girl. Then they sit down and start thinking, إِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْسَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدَّى وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ He hides from the people. مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ Because of the disgrace of what news has reached him. And then he starts thinking, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونَ Must I keep this girl with disgrace? Or rather, let me just bury her in the sand. This was a pagan thought. But when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, grandmother gave birth, she was not worried why it's a girl. In the manner, I don't want a girl. But she had said, Oh Allah, I am making my child free for your deen. Muharrara. Now she said, Oh Allah, it's a girl. How will a girl manage to do the work of deen? I wanted someone to do something for your deen. A girl, her amount that she can do in the world is restricted. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. Allah Tabarakala says, Allah knows very well what she had given birth to. She had given birth to a child who she herself had not only said, Masha Allah, but she lived up to the demands of it. That when Allah gave it to her, she did what she had to do. She planted the seed. That's all. She took her daughter and she put her daughter in the trust of the pious member of the family. She did what she had to do, and this would become Maryam al-Batul, the Zahida Maryam, the woman which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the world has produced very few women of the highest of calibers. One was Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. But her mother did what she had to do. She read the Masha Allah, she made the promise, and she practiced on the promise. She was ready to plant the seed, and Allah Tabarakala did not show her one garden. She was going to get gardens and gardens in the world. Nabi Isa alayhi salam's first mission on earth gave so much of results, and his last mission when he will come down before Qiyamah will give unique results. The deen of Islam will spread everywhere in the world. Finally, on the hands of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, one Maryam, one seed, But her mother planted a seed, made a dua before, made a promise to Allah, and was ready then to do what she had to do. You are the mothers of today or the mothers of tomorrow. May Allah tabarakala let you also plant the seeds of Iman and Islam. If you will plant it, you will see the trees, the gardens, many gardens. It will please you before you pass away. More than that, it will please you forever after. One will be a person for sadaqah jariyah, isare sawab. A sahabi radiallahu anhu comes, my mother passed away, can I do something for her? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever a child will do for the mother. He said, what is the best I can do for my mother now? He said, what about water? He said, water in the land where there's no water, fantastic. Water in the land where there's no water. He went to dig a well. He said, this is for the mother. That every time someone will get water in a place where there's no water, water is life. What about deen? What about deen? In a land where there's no deen, but everyone is thirsty for deen. If you could become the cause of those people getting deen, and it will become a garden that will give rise to gardens after, you will find such a reward in your akhirah. Such a reward. But to become that woman who plants the seed of the future of Islam in these lands, it needs a little effort. So number one, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ. There should be nothing except before you do it, you will attribute it to Allah. This is if Allah wills. This is what Allah has willed. And thereafter, and it will be done in the manner Allah wants. Number two, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Allah Tabarakah says, you will have to make tilawat of the book of Allah. You must read Quran. You do not have to make one juz a day. Even if you read a few pages, but you will read and you will look at the meaning. You will ponder over what message Allah is giving you and you will read it again. You will let it settle within your heart. You will memorize a little. You will encourage your girls and your boys to memorize. How in the school they have nursery rhymes. And the child, before even knowing the language, is listening. When we were small, they said, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. We never knew who Humpty Dumpty was. Up till today, we don't know. We don't know what it meant. He had a great fall. It made no sense. But they made us read it so many times that now past the age, 40 years later, I still can remember Humpty Dumpty. Why? Because the small child was made to say it again and again and again. But the child understood the language. You will make your children memorize and you will memorize Quran. But in a manner where the child understands a little of what he's memorizing. Thereafter, 40, 50, 60 years later, when that child will think of anything, the word of Quran will come on the tongue. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have given you more than enough. The child will read it and read it and read it. We have given you more than enough. We have given you more than enough. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. All you need to do is perform salah for your Rabb and sacrifice. The child will go out to schools and universities. Friends will tell him, let's go out and have fun. He will say, I have to perform my salah. They will not understand why. Because he read it so many times knowing the meaning. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. The time will come in life where sacrifices will have to be made. Others will be very scared to make the sacrifice. The child who read and read and read one har, sacrifice, sacrifice, for your Rabb sacrifice. A day will come where it will play on his heart. It will no longer be on the tongue. You will have to make tilawat. And you will have to hear, let your children hear you making tilawat. You will have to make an effort that you understand the meaning of Quran, even a little, so that the child who grows up in your lap, you are the first madrasa. You are the first madrasa. It is you who will teach the child the first kalima. It is you who will teach the child the first surah. It will have to be you to teach the child the meaning of the first surah. Because this which settles in the heart is that seed that will be planted today and will give out its trees tomorrow. Number 3. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. Allah Tabarak Allah says you will have to hold yourself in the company of good people. If you ever feel you can remain protected in an environment of evil, alone you will not manage. You will need a group. You will have to find companions and friends who are like-minded. You will have to find halaqat of ta'lim, tabligh. You will have to find gatherings where people think of Allah. Either it is you will tune in to someone's lecture and you will follow the lecture. You will want to do a dars of ilm. Best for you is to find a woman. The house of a woman is a woman. The teacher of a woman is a woman. A girl learns from a girl, a boy learns from a boy. It is a system of the schools that the boy would learn from a girl and the girls would learn from men. Their system was the most amazing system. Girls supposed to learn from girl. Boys supposed to learn from a boy. But the system of the school, when we were small, our teachers had to be women. Then we had male teachers. The girls would be thrilled with the male teachers. The boys would be thrilled with the female teachers. Why? Because they were not learning the work. They were looking at the person. In our dini circles, a girl will learn from a girl, a boy will learn from a boy. But to have that halaqa of ilm, to establish it, the great saint of Turkey, when he started the revolution, town to town, town to town, people told him, your bayans are very good, come. He said, I'll only come next time to this town. If before I come, I will ask you, have you established a madrasa? They said, so, a madrasa? He said, even if the size of the madrasa is the size of the chicken house, where the chickens run in, and even if you tell me there's only one teacher and one student, I'll come. But if there's no madrasa, I'm not coming. They would establish just to bring him. He would then come and say, next time I come, I will ask you, is your madrasa still running? And I will also ask, has your wife established a madrasa for the girls? The man would say, my wife can't teach. He says, whatever you teaching this boy, you teach it to your wife and she will teach the girl. Then he would say, can't I teach another girl? He will say, no. You will teach your wife and your wife will teach the girl. A man will teach the boys, a woman will teach the girls. What an effort he made, Sheikh Mahmoud Afandi. Today you will go in the lands of Turkey and you will find a revolution. Revolution. Where there was no Islam, that effort that was made of environments, groups, halaqat. So I end with these three. For the sake of yourself and your deen, Adam alayhi salam, when he came, he was told, you will have to make effort in this world. It's a very small effort, but if you plant the seed, you will see it grow. If you do not plant the seed, you're not going to see results coming from the sky. This is not Jannah. How you will plant the seed, number one, on the gifts that Allah has given to you, attributed to Allah. InshaAllah, mashaAllah. If Allah wills, this is what Allah has done. But it's not a kalima on the tongue. It is sense that has come from Allah. I must be ready to do with it as Allah wants. Hand your children over to Allah. And then you will see gardens coming in the world. Number 2, tilawat of Quran and a little effort from your side to understand the basic surahs. And then to teach it to the young child, so when they memorize that basic surah, they also have a meaning. And number 3, keep yourself in good company. May Allah tabarakallah through your efforts allow the seeds of deen in a very big way to be planted in this land. So that it should not be only an island which has lovely green trees. It should be an island that has the madaris of deen, which are the true gardens of Islam. There are some questions. My habit normally is that if someone asks questions, we say email the question and don't wait for the answer. Email the question and don't wait for the answer. Most of the answers that a person looks for, you will find it in Quran and in the Sunnah. To get Quran and Sunnah, you have to make an effort to learn the language of Quran and the Sunnah. A 10-year-old asked, why did Allah create us? Allah Tabarakallah created Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Then the question is, because if taqdeer exists, Almighty Allah already knows what decisions we will make. This is a very, very unique question. And from a very small child. And then they ask, can I have the signature of Maulana Ridwan? Our signatures don't help anything at all. We are also slaves. Everyone is a slave. You make an effort that Allah must sign your certificate. For Allah to say, my servant has been successful, that's our honor. Any man, any woman, you see that person on the cricket field, soccer field, running to his sports star and say, I want your signature. That signature doesn't mean anything. That man is going in his grave and the paper is going to get burnt. It is only the signature from Allah. As for the issue about why did Allah create us if Allah already knows the results. Allah is Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to his companions once. And he found them asking this very same question. He replied to them. He said, it was this question that destroyed the people of the past. He said, i'amalu, you must practice. فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. You will find what you created for, Allah makes it easy for you. You will practice. Why did Allah make anything? Allah is Allah. If Allah wanted from day one, I could be enjoying in paradise like how Adam alayhi salam once was. And if Allah wanted from the beginning, He could have put me in the fire like how Allah created a fire. He can make anyone burn in the fire. Some verses of Quran, Allah Tabarakala says, we allowed you to see your own actions. So that on one day man will not say, oh Allah, if you had given me a chance in this world, I would have shown you I am fit for paradise. There will be those who will burn one day, but they will not be able to say, why am I burning? They will have their own actions in front of them, which will tell them, why are you burning? Had Allah placed that man in the fire from the beginning and Allah can, then the man would have always says, no, if you gave me a chance, I would have proven otherwise. Allah gave him his chance. Me and you will never know what ours is, but we will make effort. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your job is to make effort. فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. And everyone's path will be made easy for what he has been created for. We will one day see our actions. On that day, we will realize or know where we are and why we are there. Work for Allah in this world and you will see unique results tomorrow. A question, struggling with khushu in salah, any advice? How to concentrate in salah? The question is, what's the meaning of concentration? If the meaning is, I must be so absorbed in my salah, that I don't hear the child screaming, I don't hear someone coughing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would say, sometimes I start the salah intending to read long. Then I hear a child crying at the back. I think of the mother and the distress she will be going through. Then I shorten my salah, which meant he was hearing. Absorption in salah is a gift that Allah gives on certain occasions. It is not matloob, desired. What is desired is, you must know you're reading salah. Like how a person is driving a car, he listens to the people behind, he listens to the radio, he answers his phone. But as long as he knows he's driving, there's no accident. Forget he's driving, he forgets there's an accelerator, he forgets there's brakes. We cannot forget we are in front of Allah. The mind will hear and think of many other things, but we have to know we're in front of Allah. This is the minimum level of concentration in salah. But when a person works on this, you will find much more comes after. So when you say Allahu Akbar, all you have to think for that 1 second is, I am in front of Allah. Thereafter you will start reading Quran and your mind will wander. When you're going into ruku, it's called the changing of postures. It's when we change things that our mind comes back. When you go into ruku, before starting your Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, all you have to think about is, I am in front of Allah. There is a few lectures that we gave on this year regarding how to get khushu in salah. We have a website called spirituallight.org.za. So if you go onto the audio section and you just type there something about, you type salah maybe, then maybe it will come, the 5 lectures. There is a book also which is called Anwar al-Salah. So you look for the English of this book, Anwar al-Salah. In that it is made up of about 10 lessons. Each lesson is to read and to practice on, and you will see that how easy it becomes thereafter to be able to get a very good level of concentration in salah. There are major changes coming. How can we best prepare ourselves living in this country, in this part of the world? Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked that question when they heard what's going to happen in the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet for a while. It was revelation. And then he gave the answer. The answer was, hold on firmly to the book of Allah. Quran, for many years for us it was tilawat of Quran. Read Quran. Many people never ever realized the importance of tadabbur, understanding Quran. Allah tabarak ta'ala sent a message to us. A message has to be read in a manner we understand the message. There are translations of Quran. There are explanations, tafsirs of Quran. They are more than enough to understand the message. The greatest is to learn the language, to make an effort to learn part of the language. But if we can't come so far, then at least to purchase a reliable tafsir of Quran. Tafsir Uthmani, very short, very reliable. Ma'riful Quran, long, very reliable. Like this, there are so many. Read a little of the message, then again make tilawat of the verse, again make tilawat of the verse. Allow it to seep into the mind, and finally to hit the heart. The heart is the king of the body, Quran is the king of all speech. You need a king to speak to a king. When Quran will speak to the heart, a lot of changes will come in the life of the individual. Final question. Advice for those who are raising children in the West. So that whole bayan was about that. You plant the seeds and you make the right efforts. Do you recommend homeschooling? It has its benefits, obviously, and there is always its harms. The harm is the child never ever mixes with others. The child becomes glued to a computer because it's bored. The amount of time that the child is given for homeschooling is a little. The rest of the time he doesn't know or she doesn't know what to do. An idle mind is the devil's worship. But then the child who goes to school, then he is in the lap of the devil. So one side he is in the lap of the devil, the other side the devil is in his hands. It's a choice you have to make. When people ask, what's the principle of upbringing of children? They say, principle number one is dua. Because there's no principle. When Allah's nazar falls on a child, he can grow up in the palace of Fir'aun and he can become a Musa. And when Allah's gaze lifts from a person, they can grow up in the house of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and still refuse to go onto the boat. Allah is Allah. Our job is dua. But then little effort has to be made. It is with dua and reciting Quran that Allah will inspire you. The laws change depending on the teachers, the environment, the school, the place. There's not one law that works for everyone. Allah inspires. But dua has to be made and a lot of tilawat of Quran. You make tilawat of Quran when the child is young. You make ta'lim. The child's mind must hear something. It must not be boring ta'lim. It must be entertaining ta'lim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would speak to a youngster. The youngster wanted to hear something. The ta'lim to a child is different from a ta'lim of what we have learned. Perhaps sit in a halqa. Let's say 15 minutes. Read here. The child becomes tired. The ta'lim for a child is something that's entertaining to the mind of the child. The child loves waqiyat, to find waqiyat, to find incidents, to find stories. On the very website I mentioned, Spiritual Light, I think maybe after that, .co.za, you will find there's a book section. Yesterday someone asked me for books. So you can start there also. In the book section you will find the name is written author Maulana Imran Qazi. Under that you will find a book called Presence of Paradise Part 1, then Part 2, then Part 3. Fabulous narrations, something like that. These are waqiyat stories. After you have read those to your children, they are true stories, inspirational stories. Then to continue further, to look for books, to create a library for your children. An Islamic library. You will have to make the effort. You will have to go looking. It's not in the world. It's difficult to find. But go looking for it. Find it. After you find it, introduce it to others. Let them find it. Create your own Islamic library. Let the children look at these books. It must be enjoyable for them. They must remember waqiyat, incidents. And with the seer, dua, and an effort towards the tarbiyah, then Allah will inspire you what is best for your child. May Allah tabarakallah make all our children the coolness of our eyes. May Allah tabarakallah make the men the coolness of the eyes of the wives. Make the wives the coolness of the eyes of the husbands. May Allah tabarakallah make us all the coolness of the eyes of the ummah. And may Allah tabarakallah be happy with all of us. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين